God our Father, may what I say and may what we hear be pleasing to you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. It was easier for Abraham, as he would become known. As we heard in our first reading from the book of Genesis, God spoke to Abraham and appeared to him. If only God would do the same for us. Recently at Fisher House, I was asked by a student, how should we cope with doubt? I know why he used the verb cope. When you are meant to be a believer, doubt can feel like betrayal or failure. However, an honest unsureness may allow us to go deeper in understanding. What we would not want to do is to dismiss what we doubt. That's not worthy of us. Nor should we try to find refuge in never questioning. As Ralph Fiennes, playing a cardinal in the new film Conclave, says to the rest of the cardinals, certainty is the great enemy of unity. Questioning together, going deeper, is why the future cardinal, John Fisher, had this college founded. In my answer to the student's question, I began by saying that I had never doubted the existence of God. And then I proved myself wrong. What I did admit to was that I doubted God's concern for me. There was a particular time after I had graduated from Cambridge and was studying in Rome when I became unwell, and because of my family history, I was particularly concerned. As I waited for a diagnosis, I feared that God would not be there for me, that if I died, I might slip through his fingers and be lost. The thought was unbearable. But as I shared this experience with the student, I realized it was akin to doubting God's existence, because God, as he revealed himself to Abraham, is a God who cares absolutely, or he's not God at all. The contemporary American novelist Marilynne Robinson published this year an appreciation of the book of Genesis. She observes in it that people often say that they believe in God as if his existence were a hypothesis they are willing to accept. She then goes on to say, however, Abraham has been told something directly by God, something unbelievable, and believed it. Faith certainly consists of assenting to propositions about God, such as we find in the Creed. And it's more than that. Faith involves living out the implications of what we have assented to, especially in our care of others and ourselves. As it says in St. James's letter, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. And faith is more than that. Faith is doing what Abraham did. He listened to God and allowed himself to be guided by him. He put his hand in God's. He trusted. Therefore, faith is not a state of mind, because states of mind change. I don't know what I shall think from one day to another. Instead, faith is openness to God and where he may lead us. The journey that Abraham sets out on is a novelty in the Bible. Every previous journey, Adam's, Cain's, Noah's, has been a punishment for a wrong done. Abraham's journey, however, is different. God requests it so that Abraham and through him, all of us may be blessed. God's first words to him are, "Get thee." These are not simply a command to get moving, to start walking. The Hebrew, lek leka, means journey to yourself. What God desires is that we become ourselves. And such a becoming involves a leaving. God tells Abraham to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. To leave his country because Abraham is to be more than the product of social forces or economic policies. To leave his kindred because he is to be more than his innate instincts and biological drives. To leave his father's house because he is to be more than his first experiences and upbringing. Abraham is to be free, and by listening to God, become truly himself as his creator made him to be. I love fiction and fantasy. In them, we can imagine other worlds, Narnia, Middle Earth, Arrakis, and Dune. And perhaps for some of us here, Abraham and those who continue to worship his God look as if they are caught up in such a fantastical world, where in reality, faith is nothing more than our projection of our aspirations for something more. Or some of us may believe, but feel that there are things we cannot let go of, though we suspect God would have us do so. Abraham would sympathize here. He was told to leave all his kindred, but in fact he brought his nephew Lot with him. That didn't go well. So was Abraham just imagining? Was he affected by the desert sun, or is faith true but a terrible denial of ourselves? And so, to take us further on the journey, God began with Abraham. God sent his son. In Jesus, our hope is answered. We see and hear God for ourselves. In Jesus, we learn that faith may involve letting go, but there is nothing to be afraid of. God is sufficient and he has us. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are my friends." Each of us may know many people, but those we can truly call friends are few. A friend is someone whom you can utterly rely on, however high our fall will be, they will be waiting below. There is something absolute about their care of us. When Jesus said to the disciples, "Ye are my friends," he was no less addressing us. We are his friends. We shall not slip through his fingers. His care of us is absolute. If, like Abraham, we obey God's call, "Get thee," we shall over time become free. Free in ourselves. Free to choose what has always been and will always be good, true, and beautiful. We live in a moment where we hold two contradictory ideas at the same time. That everything is determined and everything is up for grabs. We could doubt both. And and with God, travel freely.